with the latest Indiana farm news, markets, and weather each weekday. It's the Hoosier Ag Today podcast. And on Friday, the 17th of January, 2025, I'm Andy Eubank, along with Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller on the news today, including agriculture bills introduced at the Indiana State House, a biofuels bill among them, and Ag Secretary Vilsack's third term coming to an end. The Hat Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online at ffbt.com to learn more. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin details warm weather today with moisture working its way in late in the day. And the markets all lower yesterday. Mike Silver analysis on the way on the Hat Friday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Equal opportunity lender. Member FDIC.
Attention farmers, a big part of the Keystone Cooperative Advantage is reinvesting in the business to better serve farmer members. To support this effort, they're partnering with Purple Wave Auction to sell over 150 pieces of quality equipment this January and February, including over 70 sprayers and spreaders with brands ranging from Case to John Deere and Rogator. And there's so much more selling in these auctions. Get registered today at purplewave.com.
Biofuels policy introduced at the State House and Vilsack's time at USDA coming to an end. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Several bills relating to agriculture have been introduced at the State House. A couple we're watching very closely are House Bill 1127 from Allen County Representative Dave Heine and its companion bill in the Senate, SB 254 from Boone County's Brian Buchanan. These bills would provide biofuel tax credits to fuel retailers,
incentivizing those retailers to offer those higher blends and building demand for both corn and soybean.
That's Steve Howell with the Indiana Corn Growers Association and Indiana Soybean Alliance talking about higher blends of ethanol or soy biodiesel. A study shows that if passed, this measure could bring an additional $117 million annually to Hoosier corn and soybean farmers. And it would bring great value to the state as well.
It'll add $104 million to Indiana's GDP and will save the consumers $11 million annually. And this is an investment of $10 million for the ethanol incentive, $5 million for the biodiesel incentive, total investment of $15 million. And we can show that return right back into Hoosiers' pockets.
Howell joins us on the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast to discuss the bills and is joined by Aaron Kuhn, Regional Marketing Manager for POET. Kuhn explains what the demand could be for corn growers.
So if we were able to push those extra gallons through E15, hit the max cap of $10 million, that's 30 million gallons or another, you know, essentially another 10 million bushels of new demand just for this bill.
Jeremy Mullins, commercial manager of Louis Dreyfus Company in Claypool, also joins us on the podcast. He explains how the bill is beneficial to biofuel producers like them as well.
The closer we can ship our product to our final consumer being in Indiana versus loading it by rail and shipping it to the New York Harbor, the closer we ship it, that's less cost for us. And those cost savings do trickle down to the farmer as well.
Hear the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast now in the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
One of the greatest advantages of working with your local farmer-owned cooperative is sharing in its success. Keystone Cooperative is thrilled to announce over $68 million in patronage, all being paid back to our farmer owners after a historic 2024. That's 57% of our profits going directly to the farmers who own us. Unlike private or publicly owned companies, Keystone reinvests in Main Street, not Wall Street. We're proud to return this $68 million to farmers across Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. The Keystone Cooperative Advantage, centered on you.
He's one of the longest-serving cabinet members in U.S. history, but Tom Vilsack's time as U.S. Ag Secretary is coming to a close. C.J. Miller reports on Vilsack's time as head of USDA as the department gears up for a new leader.
What I'd like for folks to appreciate is that there's a consistency in the work that was done while I was secretary at USDA.
And that's Bill Sack, who has served as U.S. Ag Secretary for nearly 12 non-consecutive years. He served under President Obama from 2009 to 2017, and again in that same role under President Biden starting in 2021. Not only is Vilsack the second longest serving U.S. Ag Secretary, he's also the sixth longest serving U.S. Cabinet member. Looking back at the two different time spans he has served as Ag Secretary, what are the accomplishments that Vilsack is most proud of?
We looked at the SNAP program and said we need to recalculate it based on what's happening in the world today. That resulted in a significant increase in SNAP benefits. We looked at the WIC program and said, you know, it's great, but it could be better. It could be modern. It could be providing online options. It could be encouraging more fruits and vegetable consumption. We looked at the opportunity for a meaningful summer feeding program by providing families a free and reduced lunch children, additional financial assistance, so in those 3 months between when school ends and when school starts, kids will continue to get a good meal.
Vilsack's role as U.S. Ag Secretary will officially come to an end when President Trump's nominee, Brooke Rollins of Texas, is confirmed by the U.S. Senate and sworn in. I'm C.J. Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer. Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit Mid-America is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Boy, it's going to be a wild and crazy 24 to 48 hour period here across the Hoosier State. Through the day today, we see warmer air coming in. Honestly, yesterday had warmer air in than most of the rest of this week so far. It didn't really feel like it, because with the temperatures getting up near freezing in the north and slightly above freezing in the south, we had a lot of cloud cover as warmer air came over this snow-covered surface, and it was just kind of a biting, damp feel. It's the cold that just kind of seeps through you. So even though we're milder today, I'll be honest, it may not feel like it to you in a lot of areas, but it will feel significantly warmer today than what we have coming to finish out the weekend and go into the start of next week. So today, warmer air coming over the cold surface. That, again, does trigger a good deal of cloud cover for most of the state. In addition to that, we've got a system coming up from the southwest that has a lot of clouds with it itself. So if you see any sunshine today, call it a bonus, move on. I don't think precipitation gets started until after sunset tonight. But from overnight tonight through tomorrow morning to midday, we have moisture working in. Liquid equivalent, I don't think it's any more than half an inch, probably a tenth to four tenths generally. At this point, central and southern Indiana, I think, are predominantly rain with some sloppy wet snowflakes mixing in. Northern Indiana is where it gets interesting. I think we can see rain and wet snow, but the wet snowflakes can give us, I think, a very slushy, nasty, sloppy coating to an inch. Probably not two, but I'm going to keep an eye out. But I think we can see everything in the north. Now, the one thing I'm not concerned about is freezing rain. You know, the actual rain that falls and freezes on a surface. No, I'm actually seeing the temperatures stacking up through higher levels of the atmosphere. We get colder as we go. So as precipitation falls, it should be in the form of snow. We're just going to be doggone close to freezing or slightly above as we move through the overnight. Wet snow will really start to be an issue probably as we move into the early morning hours of Saturday. All right, we've spent a lot on that. Let's move forward through the rest of the forecast. We can do so quicker because we can sum it up in one word: cold. If you want two words, darn cold. That's where it's at. Temperatures falling dramatically then for Sunday, and I think we're going to be seeing some strong north and northwest winds come in. I think we fall on temperatures all the way through Sunday, and we go below zero overnight to Sunday night. Single-digit highs above and below zero for Monday through Wednesday. Overnight lows well below zero. Gusty winds along with that mean wind chills are going to be nasty through the first part of the week. I think we get into the end of the week and we come off some of those frigid high temperatures a little bit, but we don't get warm by any stretch of the imagination. The one thing I can say, we generally get through the week under high pressure, which means we don't see a lot of system precipitation or frontal boundary activity trying to come towards us. That means we just have to deal with the cold air, even late in the week. I don't think we have much happening. Even lake effect is going to be somewhat muted this week. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Bundle up, get ready. I'm Ryan Martin.
It's too good to be kept a secret. The Hoosier Ag Today email newsletter. Every weekday morning, it gives you the latest news that's important to Indiana agriculture, plus a review of the farm markets and a customized weather forecast that's just for Indiana. It's free. It's in your email box every morning. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your employees to sign up for the Hoosier Ag Today email newsletter at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app.
It was a sell-off across the board. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Farm Market Review. All the final numbers on the way. We'll begin with market analysis. I grab that at the end of the session from Mike Silver. He's at Kokomo Grain. Just about everywhere you look, the markets were weak on Thursday, Mike, and that included the stock market, crude oil, very weak. And from the start of the session, corn, beans, and wheat all lower. In a word, why?
Kind of started last Friday when we did get the surprise of a lifetime, really, in the USDA reports. You know, quite a change from last year when basically following the report, it was bearish. This year, certainly, the report was friendly. And we have seen some nice price appreciation in terms of the futures market since last Friday. Earlier this week, we sustained those upward moves, but today we're giving some of it back. And that's not at all to be surprised. There are some headwinds that we're facing. Obviously, I will talk a little bit about some support and resistance levels in the March corn futures and in the March soybean futures. We'll talk about some opportunities that have presented themselves earlier this week. But right now, we're feeling the impact of a pre-Martin Luther King holiday on Monday and the inauguration of a new president. And there are some headwinds associated with some thought processes into what could happen there in terms of how this is all going to play out in the remainder of this crop year and in next crop year. But let's talk just a little bit about that report on Friday. It's history now, but the reports were generally bullish in nature. The USDA lowered their yield estimate for U.S. corn and soybeans, pulling them both down below the low end of the trade range. U.S. corn yield was cut 3.8 bushel the acre to 179.3 bushel to an acre. Soybean yield was cut a bushel an acre to 50.7 bushels per acre. The end result was that corn and soybean carryouts also came in below the smallest of the trade estimates, and the U.S. carryout for corn dropped to 1.540 billion bushel, and that was down 198 million bushel, and the soybeans dropped to 380 million bushel, down 90 million bushel. So we saw some price appreciation. It was really nice price appreciation, and it afforded folks the opportunity to make some additional sales. I want to talk for just a minute about how we fared here in Indiana. Indiana corn production for 2024 totaled at a billion bushels, 7% below 2023. Our corn acres harvested for grain totaled 5.05 million acres, down 5% from 2023, and our average yield of 198 bushels an acre was down 5 bushels an acre from the yield before from 2023, and certainly was not as good a yield as we thought we had going into the harvest of 2023. 24. And that's for several reasons. Obviously, it appears that tar spot took some yield away, as did the dry weather that we had at the end of the summer. Our Indiana soybean production totaled 341 million bushels, up 2% from 2023. Our harvested acres was 5.78 million, up 300,000 from 2023. And our average yield of 59 bushel an acre was down 2 bushels from 2023. Again, some negative impact in our Indiana yield. So what this has done, Andy, it has afforded farmers an opportunity to make some old crop sales at price levels that a lot of folks didn't think we were going to get back to. And I'll talk a little bit more about some support and resistance levels in the March corn and in the March soybeans. There are some headwinds, obviously. We've got this inauguration coming up on Monday, and you know we've heard a lot about tariff talks. We know that the administration is changing. We've got cabinet posts that need to be filled. We still have insurrection issues around the globe, geopolitical issues that are concerning to the market. But still, I have to say that we have been able to make some pretty good old crop sales, and farmers have been to avail themselves of some opportunities to make some new crop sales. Let's talk just a little bit about the export sales numbers that came out this morning. 1.024 million metric tons of corn. That was up from the 445,000 tons last week. Our soybean number came in at 569.1 thousand metric tons. That compares to 288.7 last week. So again, that was a pretty fair number. Our wheat number came in at 513.4 thousand, and that was up from 111.3 a week ago. Our soybean meal sales, 144.4, that was a good number. And we also had some soy oil sales this week that were above the high end of expectations. They came in at 57.2, and last week they were at 34.6. If I look at the export pace that we're on right now to meet the targets in the USDA balance sheet, our corn export sales are running 9% ahead of the seasonal pace that we need to reach the target, and our soybean sales are 4 percentage points ahead of the pace we need to make the USDA export target. We did have some daily export sales reported today to China and Taiwan, 132,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to China this marketing year, and 135,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to Taiwan this marketing year. So, you know, we had some good daily export sales in the daily export sales reporting system. Let's look at that March corn chart, the daily chart, for just a minute here. We've seen some nice run-up, as I said, last Friday and earlier this week. Now, we are down today about 4 cents in the March corn. But if we look at the resistance planes in the March corn futures right now, 479 and three quarters to 480 and three quarters appears to be the next area of resistance, followed by 488 and then possibly $5 in the March contract. Support is seen at 469 and three quarters, and then 462 and a half and 455 and three quarters. So we look to be pretty well supported, Andy, in that March futures contract. Now, if I take a look at the March soybeans, resistance can be found at 1041 and a half, and then 1053 and a half, 1064, and support at 1023 and a half, 1012 and three quarters, and 1005 and a half, and then down at $10 and a penny. The South American crop looms heavily above the market, and that is a headwind. It looks like the South American crop, the weather in Argentina and Brazil appears to be, although it's fluctuating somewhat, appears that they are going to have a really good crop in the southern hemisphere. So, Andy, I think we still have an opportunity for producers to take advantage of some upward moves in the market. Certainly, the changes that happened a week ago tomorrow in the surprise USDA report friendlied up the market. That's not to say, though, that we can't be volatile and trade both sides of unchanged. As we look forward now to the new president to take office on Monday, the 20th of January, which also happens to be the Martin Luther King holiday, federal holiday. And then Tuesday, we have a new administration, and we'll see if the tariff talks and everything, how they pan out, and we'll keep our fingers crossed that we can see better prices and better opportunities as we move deeper into 2025.
Thoughts from Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain. Mike's number, 800-666-0613. On the Hat Market Review, the Thursday settlements, everything down. March corn 4 1/4 lower, 474 1/2. May 483 down an even nickel. July 6 cents lower, 486. 23 3/4 loss for both the March and May bean contracts. March goes down to 1019, May 1031 1/2, July 1042 3/4. That was a loss of 23 1/4. A 9 1/2 cent drop on the March wheat at 537 1/2. The meats down too. February live cattle, 196.60, 192 lower, 82 cents down. February lean hogs, 82.30. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Timely, relevant, credible.